This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon, Pete Dillon here with you. That music might just pop in again, so best I turn that down. For another week of cravings, I'm a bit croaky in the throat. It's been a tough week fighting off a flu, but I'm here, we're here, we're queer, and we're going to deliver you a great program today. We will be talking to the ever-delightful Kim Chalmers. She's a young winemaker based in Mildura at the minute, and she's putting together an event, which is music and wine. So we'll speak to Kim about that. Also, I've had the chance to run around the Taste of Melbourne Festival yesterday and today. Caught up with a whole bunch of people, and you're going to meet them now as well. So stick with me here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. My name is Pete Dillon. Now, there's lots happening in news this week because it's awards. On the Monday just gone, we saw the Gourmet Traveller Awards for recognising the best restaurants and what have you in the country. And, of course, Monday night coming is the launch of the 2011 Age Good Food Guide, about which we're very happy. So I just wanted to run through, and we'll briefly talk about those. That's in the place of our foodie news today. It's been a year in which plenty of old boozers have found new legs, and Victorian diners have responded with an appetite for British grub. It was a time when B-listers blossomed, when top-end restaurant owners used their flagship's cachet to create more informal offshoots. This year we really liked venues that focused on drinking food, so food that we could sort of sit at the bar and eat and shared plates, that sort of thing. And there's a glance at some of the culinary stars that are emerging from this year's Age Good Food Guide Awards shows it was a busy time for chefs keen on training themselves and their apprentices up as gardeners, continuing to trade in any space they could find, their bargaining spots if need be, for an extra spot of earth so that their flora and fauna might flourish. Not surprising, then, that country restaurants have made a strong showing in the 2011 Age Good Food Guide. Let's have a look at some of the nominees. Restaurants nominated for the Country and City Restaurant of the Year Restaurant of the Year. And I reckon I'd go and throw a bit of a lazy 50 on Ben Shuri at Attica to take that out. Also, Circa the Prince, now under the guidance of Jake Nicholson, who we've met here before. Izzard, that is Teague Izzard, who also oversees Ginger Boy. Movida, one of the Movida chain, Frank Kimura's work. Pearl by Jeff Lindsay. Provenance, the Royal Mail Hotel in Dunkeld, and the Tea Rooms of Yark. So it'll be interesting to see which of those restaurants does in fact take out that title. Chef of the Year. Now, I'm a bit surprised that Andrew McConnell's not in there, but again, Ben Shuri's there from Attica, and I reckon I'd throw a lazy 50 on Ben as well, along with Dan Hunter from the Royal Mail, Matt Wilkinson, who's probably in the very last throes of cleaning out his locker at Circa the Prince before he heads off to oversee his new business, Pope Joan, and Teague Izzard, again, from Izzard. So, four nominees there, which is pretty exciting. And best new restaurant, Izakaya Den, which is a Japanese place. Here in the city, Mamacita, which is Mexican. Maize, we spoke to Josh Emmett last week from Maize. He's their exec chef, Maize by Gordon Ramsay, of course. Loam, which is in Drysdale, down on the Bellarine Peninsula. The Middle Park Hotel, Movida Aki, and Port Phillip Estate. Now, the Gourmet Traveller Awards were held in Melbourne at the Flower Drum on Monday. A very exciting night, I believe, had by all. And with fellow Melburnian, Vue du Monde is only one of two restaurants outside Sydney to earn a 3-star rating from the magazine's annual guide, hinting again that Gourmet Traveller might be just a little bit parochial, based in Sydney, of course it is. Other leading awards announced at the ceremony at the Flower Drum are the Best Regional in Australia, went to the Royal Mail at Dunkeld under Dan Hunter. Best New Restaurant is Ortega in Brisbane. Best New Talent, Matt Stone from Greenhouse in Perth. Maitre d' Peter Sullivan, Aria in Sydney. Wine List, 1889 Inateca in Brisbane. Surprising when Melbourne's Rockpool Bar and Grill has just taken out Wine List of the Year in the Gourmet Traveller Wine Awards. The bar is Eau de Vie in Sydney. Sommelier's Frank Moreau at Est in Sydney. An outstanding contribution to the industry is Chong Lu. The nine-strong gourmet three-star list reinforces Sydney's hegemony in Australian dining. The city's super seven are Bacasse, Est, Guillaume at Bennelong, Mark, Key, Rockpool and Tetsuya's. Of course, Cutler & Co. was the best restaurant in Victoria, and it did take out, the restaurant of the year. So an interesting night ahead of us on Monday night, and just in other bits of news, I'll come back to those in just a few moments. A little bit of a different show today. Very shortly, I'll be joined by the very gorgeous Kim Chalmers. But before we do that, a bit more news from Melbourne. Ian Curley, who is the executive chef at The European, is back in Melbourne after his first session of filming in Brisbane for a television show, Conviction Kitchen, which goes to air next year on Channel 7. Ian Curley will be with us in the next couple of weeks to talk about the show, which involves paroled ex-cons meeting the challenge of running a Brisbane restaurant under Ian's supervision. The chef is putting together a kind of 12-month scholarship for the two most outstanding graduates of the show that will give winners. Now, it's not an elimination contest, so there'll be no, it's time to go, blah. And we'll give winners exposure to everything from baking to winemaking, viticulture, barista work and restaurant cooking. They'll certainly know if the industry is really for them at the end of that, says Curley. A groovy suburban Melbourne-licensed cafe is defying the trend and moving, or at least expanding, to the inner city. Porgy and Mr. Jones, which is a cutely named and highly successful venue in East Hawthorne, is now set to launch a Richmond branch, Friends of Mine, which will open in mid-September. Porgy's Jason Jones has confirmed he'll take over the site at 506 Swan Street, which was most recently home to Indian restaurant Fusion, converting it into a seven-day licensed cafe that will be more ambitious than his present business, he says, but without attempting to be a restaurant. Whilst Richmond is awash with middling cafes, the Burnley area seems ripe for the picking. Bring on brunch, says John Lethlean of The Australian. We met a few weeks ago Luke Stringer from Mezzo. He and his partner Joe Vigetto are set to sign on a second Melbourne restaurant, having established their Burke Hill Precinct restaurant as a Sicilian fine diner last year, rebranding it from Oyster. The pair have their eyes on a site at 500 Burke Street below Movida Aki to do a casual rustic wood-fire pizzeria. With Earl and a St. Ali coffee clone coming as well, the Movida restaurant's upstairs, the zone would be appear to establishing itself as having some major foodie traction. I have spent a couple of days running around the Taste Festival, Taste of Melbourne. It's been a great experience, and I've met a great many people. Part of me running around the festival was to have a bit of a chat to some folk and find some new products that were interesting, but also catch up with a couple of old friends. So here's a little bit of yesterday's and today's visit. Now we've just got to make sure this one works, which will happen at some point.
Right.
Oh, here we go. This sounds like it might work.
Ricardo Mimesso, who is from Sati here in Melbourne. Mate, tell me about what's being served here at the stand.
We're serving three different dishes. One is a sausage made from prawn, mm-hmm. and we're serving it with a pickled cucumber salad and some black olive. The next dish we're doing is a gluten-free pasta made from bortolotti bean flour and mace, and we're serving it with some tuna we made at Sati, so pickled tuna, and some beautiful tomato sauce. And the final dish is a pistachio panna cotta with a caramel salted popcorn.
Sounds delicious. Now, you're also doing a launch for Spring Graze with Melbourne Food and Wine, yeah?
Yeah, correct. We're doing a pork loin or pork rack with some slow-cooked potatoes and capsicums, a dish Mum used to make for us when we sort of venture to her place.
So what's important about being a part of Taste of Melbourne?
I think it's just getting the restaurant out there and showing the public what Sati is about. And it's good just to get together with the other 16 restaurants and getting to know each other and working together.
And the reaction so far?
Positive. Like, a lot of people have come through. And I think yesterday, on opening day, they had 1,000 more people than last year. So we're probably expecting the same tonight and for the rest of the weekend.
Excellent, mate. Have some good fun.
Thank you very much.
I've stumbled upon a little stand called Baltara Australian Saltbush Lamb, and I've managed to grab, I believe, one of the owners, Robbie Muse. Robbie, tell me about Australian Saltbush Lamb.
Basically, we're a family-owned business, third generation from southern New South Wales. For the last 4.5 years when we launched our brand, we predominantly start breeding our own sheep. And basically, the lambs, for the last 3 to 4 months of their lives, fed on Old Man Saltbush, which we planted 1,000 acres of in plantation form to originally lower the saltwater table salinity problem. Since then, we found out and worked vigorously along. The saltbush itself's got 8 times the amount of vitamin E, and with the feed regime that they get, it increases the pH level, so we control that for the last 3 to 4 months of their lives, increasing the marbling and moisture content, and it gives it its own minerally flavour. We're predominantly doing 80% export now, and we keep 20% in Australia for the high-end restaurant trade, and we do a handful of farmers markets.
So what does the saltbush do as far as the flesh of the lamb? Does it make it more tender? Does it give it a different sort of characteristic?
It does. It's chock-a-block full of salt that it grabs from the underground water table. And it's very, very high in vitamin E. And with a complete feed mix, it really controls, increases the pH level, and that's what we control. And it really increases the marbling and fat content, not only on the outside of the carcass, but very much so, especially as you can see in the back straps and so in the rack portions. And that holds it moisture and tenderness and gives it its own minerally robust flavour.
And you guys manage this from the farm gate to the abattoir?
We certainly do. It's basically controlled from paddock to plate. Yeah, yeah.
And no hormones, nothing used to promote growth?
Not at all. It's 100% El Naturel. I don't think you get away these days doing that anymore and to defeat what we do.
All right, mate. And why here at the festival? What is it about Taste of Melbourne that you think will attract new customers to your brand?
This is the third or fourth year we've been doing it. It's a really good outlet just for tracking down new export and restaurant, basically new restaurants we haven't targeted yet.
Well, there's a bunch of chefs around here I'm sure you can grab. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Thank you very much.
I'm a bit of a lover of the country, and particularly my home area of Mildura. And very shortly you're going to meet one of my mates who's from there, but she's doing something really, really interesting with wine and music. I do apologise for my scratchy throat. It's just getting a little bit worse. Somebody who I know will join me in a chat and take a bit of pressure off is the very gorgeous Kim Chalmers from Chalmers Wine in Mildura. Hello, gorgeous.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm very well. And you?
Fantastic. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Mildura. That's how we like it in winter.
Yes. It'd be nice if it was... we've actually got a nice, well, a reasonable day here in Melbourne. So now let's talk this event that you're involved with, which is Music and Wine.
Yes, Tasting Notes, the music of wine. Look, I always jump at the chance to combine my two loves, music and wine, and when I can do it in the format of a dinner, it makes me especially happy, all the things I love. And late last year, 10 Minutes by Tractor actually approached me because they wanted to create an event at the restaurant there that was something that was going to just bend people's perceptions of wine and really give them an evening to enjoy, but challenge their, you know, the way that they taste and the way that they experience wine. And and so they'd heard of my sort of dabbling in music and wine tastings before, and they said, look, how do you think it would go as a dinner format? So we've had a lot of fun over the last few months, myself, with Max Allen, a wine writer from Melbourne.
And who's also pretty handy with a mandolin.
With a mandolin. James Erskine from Adelaide was a sommelier at Auger for a long time and has now gone out on his own making some wines and is involved in the Natural Wine Project, Natural Selection Theory.
He also plays a flute.
And he's a flautist, that's correct. And Eugene Ugetti from Speak Percussion, one of the great percussion ensembles of Melbourne, who's an absolutely fantastic marimba player.
Mm.
And, we put together a little program of sort of tastings that are paired up with each course of the dinner, dinner. And there'll be a bracket of wines with each course, and we'll talk about different ways of approaching music and wine. You know, there's various schools of thought and areas of research going on around the world and looking at those and also some of our own concepts.
Now, the
most exciting thing, though, for me, the first time I heard about this concept of, you know, the music that you listen to when you drink a particular wine can actually physically make that wine taste different, the feel of it in your mouth and the aspects of it that you're perceiving taste-wise change depending on the music you're listening to. And as a composer, my first thought was, hey, I wonder if the kind of music that I write changes depending on the type of wine that I'm drinking
at the time
that I'm writing it.
Now, I've got visions of you dancing around to a pair of white court shoes at a blue light disco in Mildura not so very long ago, and I'm wondering, probably a glass of Moselle in your hand or a fruity Lexia. Would I be guessing right?
No, not at all.
So let's talk about your musical pedigree, because you are a composer.
Yeah, I started off my career in the music domain. It was a difficult choice when I finished school. I was like, oh, wine and viticulture or music. And I grew up in a viticulture and wine family. Mm. But I went and followed my dream of music at Adelaide University and did my undergrad there and ended up doing some postgrad work in composition and electronic music and teaching there for a number of years, up to sort of 25.
Mm.
And really, really enjoyed that. And after a couple of years travelling overseas, came back and got back into the family wine business. But I still keep my hand in with music, and I do you know, composition projects throughout the year.
Well, you've just done a little composition project in a film.
That's right. For the Next Wave Festival, a piece of music that I wrote was the soundtrack for a dance film that premiered at Fed Square in May, which was a fantastic experience. I also got commissioned this year by a guy that I know here in Mildura, a local character, to compose a piece of music for his wife on her 60th birthday,
oh
which
my
is a
goodness.
Lovely
How sweet.
Little project.
How sweet. Just, I've got to interrupt you, Kim. I have a winner for this double pass to the Spring Migration Festival in Beechworth and Yackandandah.
Fantastic.
Because I asked for, you know, give me one of the best country restaurants in Victoria, and the winner has come up. I don't know this person's name. All I've got is Stefano's, which is in your hometown.
Oh, that's what we like to hear.
Stefano's at the Grand Hotel. So thank you, whoever you are, random person with phone number. Can you please perhaps text back and let us know your name and your membership number? And if you are not a member, you can sign up over the phone with a credit card. Sorry to do that to you, Kim, but
no,
I just
problem.
Thought it was pertinent, given that the restaurant that is mentioned is that of Stefano De Pieri's.
Absolutely. I'm just having lunch at Stefano's Cafe as we speak.
Oh, look, I love the name dropping. It's perfect. Now, you talked about your family's history in viticulture. Your family are actually sort of pioneers in some of the Italian varietals that that Mum and Dad have put together just there. It's in Euston, isn't it?
Yeah. Our original vineyard was at Euston, and their primary business sort of through the 80s and 90s was a vine nursery. So they got involved in importing new selections of material into the country, lots of new varieties and also new selections of varieties that were already existing here. So I kind of grew up with things like Vermentino and Nero d'Avola and Sagrantino as household names, working on the grafting table in my school holidays and things like that. So I guess getting into Italian varietals was bound to happen.
Yes. Now, are we allowed to talk about a little project you're undertaking with your sister, or is that all hush-hush?
Yes, no, that's fine. We can talk about
okay,
that.
Okay, off we go.
We've got a new vineyard that we've just established in the last couple of years at Heathcote, which will be the home of our Charmers wines. But as you do in Heathcote, we've planted a little bit of Shiraz there too, and my sister and I are actually embarking upon a little project with our own label, creating some Shiraz from Heathcote. We'd like to try and create a fresher, more approachable, younger drinking style than what you would classically associate with the region. So who knows if we'll achieve it, but that's what we're setting out to do. So next year will be our first vintage.
Very nice. So what can we look forward to? An elegant, refined, ladylike
yes.
Heathcote Shiraz. In comparison to what is traditionally produced out of Heathcote, which are sort of very masculine, big, ballsy Shiraz.
Yeah, well, the region, you know, produces very concentrated fruit. So, you know, most of the wines or these sort of the well-known wines from the region really focus on that and create big, inky, you know, dark expressions of Shiraz, which are, you know, are fantastic wines. And there are some more restrained styles coming out of the area. But, yeah, we'd like to have a try it at it ourselves.
And another fellow who is known to both you and I, and I can say, I'm probably saying he's a friend of both of ours, Nick Stock, is also up there producing a little bit of wine in Heathcote as well.
That's right. He's got his Archer label, which is going quite well.
So you seem to be a busy girl, Kim. You've got Tasting Notes, Music and Wine, which is at 10 minutes by tractor in the Mornington Peninsula on the 10th and 11th of September.
That's correct. Friday the 10th and Saturday the 11th.
So with very well-known wine writer Max Allen, Italian grape variety specialist and composer, the very gorgeous Kim Chalmers, natural winemaker and flautist James Erskine, and percussionist Eugene Ugetti?
Yes.
Oh, look at me go. So you can have your senses teased and seduced and challenged, and somebody told me there might even be dancing, Kim.
You just never know.
Well, I'm going to have to get on my skateboard and get down there because I'm quite fond of a boogie, as well you might know. Darling, thank you so much for joining us. If people want to... the website so they can have a look at this?
Yes, the 10 Minutes by Tractor website.
Which is 10minutesbytractor.com.au. Yep,
that's correct. Or you can just phone them on 5989-6080 and they'll let you know all about it.
Beautiful. Six courses, 15 wines, a cracking night in the peninsula.
Fantastic.
Good on you, Kim.
Thanks, Steve.
Keep yourself nice. Give my love to Mildura, my old hometown, won't you?
Absolutely.
Good on you.
That's ciao. Ciao.
That's the very gorgeous Kim Chalmers, who is also part of the Australian Alternative Varietal Wine Show, which is happening in November. We might get Kim back in the studio to talk about that particular event, which comes up later in the year. A bit earlier, you heard me running around the Taste of Melbourne Festival, which continues through today and tomorrow, finishes at 9:30 tomorrow night. And I've just sort of run around and met a whole bunch of people and talked about some of the new produce that's there. So we might continue with a bit of that.
One of my favourite things always is a glass of wine, and I've stumbled upon the Penth Wines, which are from the Adelaide Hills in South Australia, and I found Kylie, who is the brand manager. Kylie, tell me a little bit about the brand.
So Nepenthe, as you said, is from the Adelaide Hills, a cool climate region in South Australia. Founded by the Twaddell family in 1995, and we're very well known for Sauvignon Blanc. And Ithaca Chardonnay won Best Chardonnay in the World last year at the Decanter Wine Awards.
Excellent. That's a pretty good wrap. Tell us about the Sauv Blanc, because there's a constant argument on my program about the nasty Sauv Blanc that we get across the ditch in New Zealand. What makes Adelaide Hills Sauv Blanc that much better? I know Sean Smith and I talk a lot about them. Okay. Tell us a bit more about yours.
So the Nepenthe Sauvignon Blanc, we do a little bit of barrel fermentation. So it gives a little bit more texture and weight to the palate. So sometimes I find New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc can be a bit acidic, whereas our Sauvignon Blanc's got a bit more depth, a bit more weight, which makes it a really lovely food and wine match as well.
And it doesn't have that nasty passion fruit punch on the front palate.
It still has passion fruit, but just not as biting in as its acidity, a little bit softer.
So what brings you across? It's obviously a fair expense to put this very good-looking stand together for the festival. What brings you across?
We're looking to try and build our profile in the Melbourne market, in the Victorian market in general, and the eastern seaboard. We're very well known in South Australia, but don't have quite the profile we would like in the eastern states.
So if people come along to the stand, because obviously there'll be people listening that'll say, geez, I've still got a day and a half to get there. Have you got some specials or something you're offering here?
We do, absolutely. We've got all our wines by the six-pack, and we've got a special price for people who come to taste, and free delivery as well.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy the rest of the weekend. Make sure you get around and have a look at some of your competitors.
Yeah. Any ones you can recommend?
Yeah, go to stand number 93, Capel Vale.
Yeah, all right, I will do. Thank you very much.
Good on you. That's Kylie, who is from Nepenthe Wines in Adelaide Hills, and I'm going to see if I can find some meat. Now, I'm here having a joke about meat. I said I was looking for meat, but I have found the very, very gorgeous Karen Martini from the Melbourne Wine Room. How's it going?
Hello, Pete. Really well. I'm really enjoying it so far. What are we? 1.5 services in.
And 3.5 to go?
Yeah, 3.5. We're not counting, though, are we? No.
Tell me, what's on the stand for people to try?
Well, today I'm doing Vitello Tonnato, which is an Italian classic, so it's my interpretation. It's been on the menu at the Melbourne Wine Room for the last, I don't know, a good strong 8 years. I don't think I can ever take it off because it's one of those meals or dishes that people just expect to see and love. And then we're doing a Livornese-style seafood stew.
I've seen this seafood stew everywhere. People are eating it, and I'm like, where did you get that?
It's like an essence of seafood. We make this beautiful reduction from fish stock and roasted crayfish heads, crabs, and lots of herbs, fennel seeds, garlic. Oh, there's so many ingredients, not funny. And it cooks off for a good 2 or 3 hours, and then we strain it all and crush the bones and get this essence, if you like, and it's stained with tomato. And then we just freshly cook some seafood in the ovens here, which is working quite well. And some fregola is through it, which is a Sardinian style couscous. It's quite delicious as well because it absorbs the flavours.
Yeah, and I believe there's a dessert over there, a panna cotta with blood orange.
Panna cotta with blood orange jelly and fresh blood orange segments. So we've actually segmented about 7 boxes of fruit so far, which is a lot. I think that apprentice is still with me.
I reckon that's the one I saw out the back chugging on a bong or something. Now, also people can buy your very beautiful book, Cooking at Home, which I am lucky enough to have in my collection.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, have you cooked from it a lot?
I actually have.
I imagine that you'd have quite a large collection of books.
I have about 150, but there's a couple that are well thumbed, and yours is one of them, because it's stuff that's easy to do, and I guess that's your appeal to Melbourne as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how I feel about the food in the book and the food, I mean, the recipes that I write for the public are more about, you know, cooking it once or twice yourself and then making it your own. And it is using accessible ingredients, maybe with a few little twists here and there to keep everyone interested, and using really simple equipment at home too. It's not, you know, no fancy smokes and mirrors and, you know, glazes and jellies and...
None of that splotching, foaming business. And just one last question. I have a favourite dish of yours, and it's the one thing I hate most, or one of the things I hate most, is you do an orecchietti with broccoli or cauliflower.
Yes, I do. So it's one of the things you hate most or ate the most?
I'm being a hypocrite because I hate cauliflower and broccoli, but your orecchietti...
Yeah, you know, that's, I call that like a little food conquer when I get people to eat things that they wouldn't normally, or they turn their nose up at. And I think it's about looking at the dish as a whole rather than going, oh, that's got cauliflower and I'm not going to touch it. Because I'm not big on cauliflower either. But then I substitute, because that dish is traditionally done with broccoli. And I thought cauliflower would be really lovely and creamy when it's overcooked and falls apart. Mixed with the anchovy, chili, garlic, virgin oils. Delicious!
Cauliflower makes me spew. So the fact that I've gotten through it once or twice is very good. Hey, listen, I know you're busy, so enjoy the rest of the weekend. 2.5 services to go, I think, not 3.5.
Oh, cool. 2.5 then. And a cooking demonstration this afternoon, which I'm looking... Oh, as this evening, which I'm looking forward to. Yeah, but thanks for chatting, Pete.
A pleasure. That's Karen Martini from Melbourne Wine Room. She's always a good sport and has a very busy weekend ahead of her. As a man who's very much a fan of headwear, I've managed to bump into a gentleman wearing a bowler hat. He's looking terribly dapper. Tell me all about Broker's London Dry Gin.
Broker's Gin is made by my brother and me back in England. We created the brand about 10 years ago, and the first thing we did was we decided to theme it on the Englishness of gin. Gin is the only spirit whose historical origins lie in England. So we chose an image that we thought would be evocative of Englishness, namely a man in a bowler hat. And our brand, as you can see, includes a man in a bowler hat on the label. There's a little bowler hat on top of the bottle. And whenever my brother and I are working, we wear our bowler hats.
So tell me about the gin itself. How does it compare to some of those other famous British gins that I won't mention?
We make our gin in a 200-year-old distillery, and we use a 200-year-old recipe. What we've done is we've recreated a classic London dry gin. Now, what that means is that all the botanicals we use, the spices and fruits that go in with the juniper, they're all classic traditional gin botanicals. So the first thing to say about Broker's is there are no oddball ingredients. No one will ever taste Broker's and say, oh, what did you put into your gin? And then the second characteristic of Broker's is the distillation method. We use an old copper pot still, and we marinate and boil our botanicals in the still to get a gin of maximum flavour. So Broker's, people find, is a richer gin than some of the other lighter, more subtle gins that are available.
And it definitely needs a splash of good tonic water.
There are two really important things for a gin and tonic. One is to use a great gin, and the other is to use a great tonic. So here we're offering people the opportunity to try both.
Excellent. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you.
I've spoken before about breakfast wine, and the breakfast wine that I love the most comes from a place in the Yarra Valley called Innocent Bystander and Giant Steps. Giant Steps are here on their own. They seem to have lost their Siamese twin in Innocent Bystander, and I have Emmanuel here with me from Giant Steps. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. We decided just to take Giant Steps. It's a little bit of a different show for us. Taste of Melbourne is sort of more about food and wine, and Giant Steps is totally over food wine. So that's why we're showing only this one. Unfortunately, Moscato people have been asking it a lot today, but they know they can get it, you know, at the Celado, everywhere. So it's just nice to see actually people recognize us, even it's just Giant Steps today. So it's pretty good, and it's educating people about, you know, the different microclimate sub-region of the Yarra Valley. So it's pretty good.
So what wines can people taste if they come for a wander to the stand?
Today we've got, well, what we only do actually in the Giant Set, which is Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Merlot, and or Harris Monster, which is a Cabernet blend, like a Bordeaux style. So, but we've got like three different Chardonnays, three different Pinots. So it's still a lot of wine to have a look at. And people can understand the different microclimate of the region and really see what they really like in the style.
So, so how many wines in total are you showing?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 wines.
And you guys are just down in the Yarra Valley, so it's a quick, what, hour drive from the centre of Melbourne?
Yeah, quick drive, yeah, early in the morning. No, it's been easy to come down. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, enjoy the rest of the show, and I hope it goes well for you.
Yeah, quite. Thank you.
Yes, Pete Dillon here with you on Cravings for another 8 minutes. The boys will be following shortly with the Orange Ribbon program. We're listening to a bit of me running around the Taste of Melbourne Festival, which continues today and through to the end of tomorrow. Coming up after this is the Orange Ribbon program, but just a little bit more of me at Taste before we have a track to round out the show here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. Before I do, I can't seem to find the winner of my tickets, so they are again available. It's a double pass to Spring Migration Festival 2010, Friday the 3rd to Sunday 5th of September, so that's next weekend at Beechworth. Head north for the best rural gay and lesbian festival in Victoria's beautiful high country. Take in events and entertainment, including the Friday night festivities at Beechworth, the Cosmic Dancer Party on Saturday, Farmers Markets and Recovery Session on Sunday. Get along for a weekend and enjoy the time of your life at Spring Migration 2010. All you have to do is text me the name of a successful country Victoria restaurant. I might give you a hint. One of them is highly nominated this year in the Age Good Food Guide Awards, and I was talking about those just earlier. Nice little place in Dunkeld. There's your hint. All right, back to me at Taste here on Joy 94.9.
Stumbled upon something I didn't expect to find here at Taste of Melbourne, which is Yarra Valley Caviar. I didn't know we produced it locally. I've grabbed Nick. He's going to tell me all about it. Nick, welcome.
G'day, how are you going? From Yarra Valley Salmon, and we produce salmon roe. Basically, we grow the salmon for their eggs. So every May, the salmon spawn, and we hand milk the salmon, all the eggs out, and which is sometimes we do around 20,000 fish, so it's a pretty big process.
Tell me how you hand milk salmon.
So we net them out of the ponds, then we anaesthetise them with a clove oil. Once they're asleep, we gently massage the eggs out of their stomach, and that gets blast frozen, and then we brine it and pasteurise it, and then we jar it up, and off it goes.
And what happens to the fish? They go back into the pond and happily swim around until the next spawning season?
That's right. They go back in, and some of the fish are 12 years old now. So, yeah, we don't actually grow the salmon for their flesh. We grow them for their eggs.
So tell me about the product itself. How does it compare to salmon roe that's from overseas that we're probably more used to?
Ours is probably the best salmon roe you can get on the market. It's a really big egg because we don't actually pull the eggs out of the guts. We hand milk it when it's at their biggest, plumpest size. So we've been doing it for about 18 years now. So we've perfected the art. And so I think it's definitely the best on the market.
So how will people use this? What's some of the ideas for it and your suggestion?
The idea is that it's normally used as a garnish on any range of hors d'oeuvres, or people use it on oysters, or mix it through a pasta, have it on eggs. There's a million different ways you can use it.
That beautiful little salty pop between the tongue and the roof of the mouth, yeah?
Burst in your mouth. It's beautiful, beautiful, salty, fishy flavour. It's great.
So how does a festival like Taste of Melbourne then increase your profile? Is that the whole exercise behind being here, so that people become aware that you're here? Because, quite frankly, didn't know that you were there.
That's it, mate. We're hidden away up in the mountains, so these sort of shows just give us some exposure and let people know the product we're offering. We reckon it's great, and I think if you try some, you'll agree it's a beautiful product.
And available in retail around Melbourne, or?
Yes, more so now. We've just launched the salmon with a longer shelf life, so we're offering it at retail now. So you'll start to find it in all your sort of gourmet supermarkets, and good fishmongers will have it stocked as well.
Terrific, Nick. Thank you very much. And I've just been handed a little bottle, so I'll take that with me and have that with my truffle and eggs that I'm having tomorrow for breakfast.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Cheers. That's Nick from Yarra Valley Caviar, which you'll find here at Taste of Melbourne.
And that's me pretty much done there at Taste of Melbourne. I have more for you, but it could start to get a little bit tiring because I want to play this song. I'm expecting you're going to be dancing around your lounge room. I will be here in the studio. This is Together in Electric Dreams. My name is Pete Dillon. I'll be back next Saturday from 1 till 2 with another episode of Cravings. And don't forget those tickets. You can still ring and win them. You can SMS 0427JOY949. You can phone 1300JOY949. You can email on air at joy.org.au and tell me what is the your favourite country restaurant in Victoria, if you have one.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.